American Auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Dwyer, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
Some very good points here in the text machine, Brock. Sam in Spokane. Brock, why you gotta take a job from someone else, man? Just pay a landscaper, create a job, contribute to the economy. What makes you think you can do another man's job anyway?
Because I'm a firm believer.
I'm with you, Sam. Thank you.
I'm a firm believer that I trust men that do their own yard work more than others.
All right.
Those that don't, I just do. I mean, that's just been one of my kind of axioms in life. Like, which is better? Which is better? A grown man that does his own yard work or a grown man that pays someone else to
Larry
do it?
Larry Salk's going to have some words with you. I know he is. Matt in Oregon with the text. Sounds like Salk is angling for Brock to give him another lawnmower that he could eventually sell. Yep, you got it, Matt. Thank you. Well said. Let's play which is better. All right, I got a lot of which is better questions for you guys. You ready?
That Matt Cat is a funny dude.
He's very funny. Yeah, he listens a lot. Maybe too much.
I met Matt last year at a Portland Pickles game.
There's a pickle farm, right?
Pickle farm, yes.
Poor guy.
Very funny guy.
He's got to listen less. I met this guy last night. He's like, I've been listening to your show for years. Listen every morning. I've made my daughter actually listen every day in the ride to school. Actually, she's here. And so I meet her, and she's like, oh, my God, that's crazy. And I was like, I'm so sorry I ruined your commute for most of high school. She's like, yeah, eventually I got my license. So I was like, so any chance you kept listening once you got your license? She's like, no.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, no. All right. Which is better, Brock, Brian Wu or Emerson Hancock?
Brian Wu. Brian Wu's stuff. I think Brian Wu's stuff in the ceiling. We just had this great conversation with G in the studio there during break. You know, like Julio's ceiling is off the charts. His stuff is just special. It's different. And, you know, it takes a little patience at times, a lot of moving parts. Woo's stuff.
Who's better right now?
Today's a big outing for Emerson.
Yeah, it kind of is.
If you notice that Woo's been in the dugout, by the way, I like that too. He's been in the dugout.
Yeah, I'm part of this team.
That's exactly right. I'm not in Tacoma. I'm not checking out.
I'm part of the team.
I am about to get Wally pipped.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm right here.
Good on him.
I'll be ready.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's true. I think Brian Wu does still just the unique arm angle and all that. But, man, it's a closer answer than it should be right now, thanks to what Emerson Hancock has done. And that's pretty cool. Hopefully he's able to keep that going today. Which is better, plain vanilla or swirl? Talking soft serve.
Swirl with what?
I'm not even going to add chocolate in there because, obviously, if you get chocolate, you're under the age of 6.
Chocolate vanilla swirl or just vanilla?
Chocolate vanilla swirl or just vanilla?
Yeah, vanilla for me.
Yeah, vanilla.
Just plain vanilla? See, plain I like a little chocolate in there. I like adding a little, it mixes it up a little bit. Yeah. I would never go all chocolate because, again, I'm not a child. But, like, mixing them together, I think, is kind of for the win.
How much time did you spend
last
night on the ice cream wheel?
Me?
Yeah.
10 seconds? What do you mean? How much time did I spend?
You really didn't, like, craft it? Like your piece of pottery?
Watching Luis Castillo, you were doing the pottery reel from
that
Ghost.
Was after. Yeah. I didn't spend a lot of time on, like, I got it at the machine. Then I went back
and
with the cone on top.
Sat in the corner of the room like a raccoon eating garbage. And just like
Howdy used to cream. Hover over that trash can eating his nachos. Disgusting. Which is better, Ryan Stanek or Cody Bolton? I know what you're going to say. Cody Bolton, right?
Am I?
You probably are, because that's what my research was going to say when I looked up. I was like, yeah, Cody Bolton's been unbelievable. I'm going to go look this up. You know what the problem is? Honestly, you know why Ryan Stanek doesn't look very good right now? His BABIP is terrible.
My guess
is when that normalizes, it's actually going to look pretty good. Most of his other numbers, not all of them, but most of his other numbers, his walks are a little high. It's not like a huge sample size or anything, but his batting average on balls in play right now is .344, which is up from his career average of like .270.
So like last night, like the little bloop off the end of the bat and then a shattered bat.
Exactly. Some of the problems that Stanek has had, his strikeout rate is right about where it should be. Strikeouts per nine is still over 9. Like, he's doing fine. And Cody Bolton's is
what
like
was the Bill Murray bowling movie?
Kingpin.
Oh. Like, honest to goodness, especially like with the wind sometimes blowing in there, his hair just, it's coming at you.
That's a pretty good reference.
It's coming at you.
Speaking of coming at you, which is better, Mora's speed or Ty France's speed? comparative to the world they live, like the world they live in. Obviously, if they had a race, I think I can now feel confident that Ty France would be more in a race.
She just jumped out of the chair wanting to answer this question.
Relative to their world, who is faster, Mora or Ty
Tyrone
France?
Or Mora?
Yeah.
Mora.
No. I'm still actually going to go with Ty France.
Disrespect of Mora while she's out.
Did you see her running? She disrespected the game.
I saw you run.
I destroyed Mora in a race. I limped over the finish line for the win.
Mora and Ty are similar. There's not a lot of twitch.
They're not. It just seems like they should be moving faster given the amount of effort that goes into the running.
Ty got a lot more twitch. Yeah. I mean, we saw that in his driveline videos. He's got more twitch. But he's got such a short stride.
Well, again, this is relative to the world they live in. He's a professional athlete.
If he had Mora's length of stride,
that would help him a lot.
Ty'd beat you.
Yeah, I think
Ty would beat you.
Yeah, probably true. All right, which is better, Dee Eskridge or Daryl Taylor? Oof. Hard one, right? Two guys who were both back, even though nobody really thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. Who's better, Dee Eskridge or Daryl Taylor?
I mean, is it safe to say that if Pete returned and that whole coaching staff returned, neither of these guys would be here. I don't think, you know, I think I've heard
there's
enough.
An easy answer to this question. It's Daryl Taylor. At least Daryl Taylor has done something in the league and sacked the quarterback. Dee Eskridge can't get on the field, and when he does, he's stunk. What are you talking about? This is the easiest question I've asked so far. It's Daryl Taylor.
Now,
let me ask you an actual hard one. Which is better, Jamal Adams or Rashad Penny? Two guys they're talking about bringing back. Which is better, Jamal Adams or Rashad Penny?
What did you say, 5.5 yards a carry?
5.6. The man has averaged 5.6 yards per carry when he's healthy.
Do you realize like where 5.6 yards per carry ranks in the annals of
Hall
football
of Fame?
History?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hall of Fame.
Legitimately.
Legit Hall of Famer.
Yes.
This is an easy answer also. If you have your choice between bringing back one of those two guys, isn't it Rashad Penny? Of course it is. Not a bad guy in the locker room. No issues in general. All right, maybe he's eating himself out of a job or two. But, like, you bring back Rashad Penny. He's incredibly productive. Jamal Adams was picked on by every single quarterback that ever faced him.
What'd you say, Pete?
Next.
Thank you. Jamal Adams or Rashad Penny? Which is better?
Hold on a second.
What?
What elicited that response from Pete?
Next.
It was I think it was in response to some of the lost the locker room comments.
Yeah, was it the smoking cigars?
Ask them. Next.
Cigar smoking, maybe?
So.
That's a good one. Which is better, Brock? Highway traffic or surface street traffic?
Which is better?
Yeah. Which is not worse? Which is less frustrating to be in?
I feel like the neighborhood, you always feel like there's an escape.
Yeah.
You always feel like there's some way.
Which you think would help. But the problem is
my father-in-law calls
traffic.
Yeah.
Like when you're on the highway, you're like, all right, there's nothing I can do.
Nothing.
When you see the gridlock traffic and you're like, get out of the box. You are screwing it up for the rest of us.
Yep.
I get much more mad in surface
it's
street
like being
traffic.
Trapped in a maze.
Yeah. That's right.
Remember Larry telling me, oh, I like this Waze. It's like Waze. What exactly is Waze?
That's funny.
Always. Yeah.
Which is better, Mitch Garver or Jose Abreu?
Oh, Mitchie.
Mitch Garver by a lot. Jose Abreu, the Astros spent a boatload of money on.
Well,
they just had to send him down.
Let me get back to my tweet and I'll tell you exactly how much.
Now, if this was Whose Shoes.
Whose Shoes would I rather be?
$58 million.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, $58 million, year two. They paid him $58 million, and they didn't send him to the minors.
Sent him to single A.
They
sent
him to their
out.
Training facility.
I know. Yeah, that is a mess. Yikes. He had, and so he does still have options, but he's got to obviously accept an assignment like that. And he agreed to accept. He's like, I'm such a mess that I'll take the assignment down in the minors.
So where did you get that chart early in the year that showed? It was a scary chart that shows like by 31, 32.
Swing speed?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll send that. I'll send that to you again.
Yeah.
Swing speed after 31 starts to really decline for baseball players.
It does.
Very interesting how that works.
Yes.
Last one, which is better, my hamstring or the health of anybody who the Angels have paid? Anthony Rendon, hamstring done. Trout, knee done. What is going on in Anaheim?
Ohtani, embezzled money done.
We don't know, but we don't know yet.
What a garbage franchise the Angels are, always have been.
By the way, overwhelming response, Pete Moss. Even friends texting. Yeah.
What about Thatch? Are you thatching?
Not enough. That's what that was the term, not mulch.
I like the idea of a cooler, a lawn chair, and maybe a BB gun.
Yep.
They're not signing Penny, says the 808. He probably hasn't worked out in 4 months.
They're
How
not.
How do you know?
I got this. I got this. Man, I got a mean bird, man. This bird on the little exhaust pipe at the on my roof, right, for the fireplace. It's got a little topping to it. And about 6 in the morning, loves to just.
Right on that.
Oh, no. He's just like tapping the top of that thing, knowing he's going to irritate the heck out of me.
Oh, really?
And I,
it's personal.
Oh, it's 100% so personal.
Feels a little personal.
Somebody you know in a former life.
And the bird.
I don't know. I hate birds.
You and Kyle both. Oh. All right.
These are not bees.
Cal Raleigh going to join us in 20 minutes. He said something last night that I really can't wait to follow up on a difference between all five of his starting pitchers. We'll do that with Cal coming up in 20 after everything you need to know next.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
What a run the Mariners are on right now. They've won 11 of their last 14 games after starting the year 6-10. Brock, remember when they started 6-10? We said they probably should be 2-12. Right? There were a couple of wins in there, maybe 3-13. They had kind of stolen a few games in there. 11-3? And actually, pretty accurate. All right. Maybe 10-4. Like,
yes,
they've played 11-3 baseball here. Certainly their pitching has for the last 14 games. What they've done is insane. They have not had a pitcher give up more than 2 earned runs in a single start in their last 18 games. That's insane.
Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Do you remember what it felt like when the Seahawks would score a touchdown with the Legion of Boom defense? And you're like, yeah, game over.
Right.
If you score 10 points, game over. When Polanco hit that home run and you give Luis 2 runs, you're like, nah,
game over.
Game's over.
Yeah.
I mean, if they just score 2, 3, 4 runs, like, you're going to win.
It sure felt that
way. With the way that this pitching's gone the last 18 nights, Salk.
He was so ridiculous last night, Brock. Being there and just feeling the intensity and just how easy it was for him was pretty great.
You know, the Rock, I mentioned it pregame a little bit. You know, he got off to a little bit of a shaky start early in the season because he wasn't putting people away, you know, when he got ahead in the count. And he's a killer. I mean, you have to take that attitude when you're out there. When you get him 0-2, 1-2, I'm killing you. You're done. And we just reminded him of that. That's who he is. And when he does that and he has that mentality out there, he's electric.
Wow. You like that? Wow. I thought you might like that. That one's right up your alley.
We're not canning it. You know, like, kill was so harsh to say in the NFL, so they had to come up with a new word. Can. Like, this plays
really?
In the can. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't hear at the line of scrimmage as much.
Kill, I didn't know that.
Kill. And I don't know if there was a slight little maybe from Park Avenue. Can we come up with a new term rather than kill? So now it's the other play in the can. So you'll hear people now say what? Can. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No.
Interesting.
You learn something every day.
I just learned something today. Yes. Wow. That's fascinating. All right. Well, anyway, he was a stone cold killer last night. Pretty darn awesome. I love the way Scott went for the jugular. They win game 2, win the series, and now have kind of a can't lose game, right? If you lose, okay, whatever. You've already won the series. And if you win, great. You just swept away the best team in baseball. Not a bad spot to be.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
So, by the way, we'll be talking to Cal Raleigh about that team and that pitching staff coming up here in about 10 minutes. Brock, Seahawks rookies are starting to arrive. They'll be here this weekend for rookie minicamp. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking at these corners, right? I mean, you drafted 2 of them from the same school down there. Byron Murphy's going to have his introductory press conference with Mike McDonald. I'm kind of, you know, and you said this last hour. You're shaking your head at me.
Yeah, because you and I just see the world differently.
That's fine. I know you love all the line of scrimmage guys and everything else. And you want to see Christian Haynes.
Nope.
And you want to see the line of scrimmage.
Nope.
You really want to see Mike McDonald coach. Yes. Honestly, more than any player in this situation, you want to watch him coach. You want to watch his staff coach. I want to hear Ryan Grubb. I want to hear Scott Huff. I want to hear these guys. I want to hear Dirty in that British accent out there just barking at guys on the defensive side of the ball. So I think I'm as intrigued to watch the guys –
that I would agree with. But if you are asking me which player I am most interested in seeing, It's actually Tyrese Knight.
Yeah.
I would like to see what it is, because he's the one kind of question mark. You're like, hey, why did they draft this guy? And I want to see why, because I'm guessing there's a pretty good reason. I just have a gut feeling, and maybe I'm totally all wet on this one. I don't know. But I have a gut feeling that there's a reason they drafted him when they did, mm-hmm. well before so many other people thought that they should. He's the one reach, quote unquote, reach in this draft class. And I don't know. It makes me, maybe it's just a contrarian in me. But
the
I'm
one
just like,
position, by the way, that you would think Mike McDonald and Verde are most equipped.
Like, I kind of want to see what it is that they saw in a guy from UTEP that mm-hmm. they were like, yep, we're going to draft him over
been
a bunch
UTEP?
Of other. Have I?
You been to El Paso lately?
I've never been to El Paso. I hear it's a beautiful place.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Hear great things.
Do you?
No. Didn't you go to
El
Paso?
I hear G's bringing some Clippers in on Friday. That's what I hear.
Happen, tell you that much.
That's what I hear.
Why does he want to do that?
He wants to take care of you before you go on little vacay.
G wants to shave my back
he
before I go on vacation.
He wants to shave your back before your
yes.
vacation.
In what world does G think I would let him shave my back? In
the world of entertainment.
On the air?
Dude is an auctioneer and entertainer.
Can you imagine
what
if
he
G
does.
Shaved my back while sitting in this chair, what Bob Stelton would do?
Wear a hazmat suit.
Can you? I mean, he legitimately hurt both of us.
Do you think he would even know?
Bob?
Yeah.
Somebody would tell him. One of the little spies out there would tell him.
Yeah, you don't have to take your hoodie off.
We got all these narcs on the text machine and Twitter like to tell Bob everything that happens.
So yeah. You don't have to take your shirt off. You just kind of
lift it up
on the back.
You know what? I think I actually look worse when I do that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Kind of hunched over.
Hospital gown, maybe?
There's no upside for me there. Flat no. Hard no. Absolutely not going to happen. That's everything you need to know.
I don't know. You put yourself out there so much with this race. Makes me think of two guys. Makes me think of Don O'Neill and the Gras.
Yeah.
The Gras sent you a really nice
text from the Gras.
Sure, you
meant
sure
a lot.
Did.
He loved it just from a radio perspective.
Absolutely.
Which meant a lot to me.
And do you remember when Don O'Neill, and I think it was the Paterno, Don O'Neill came in to you and I in the studio there. He's like, okay, you guys hit it. You realized it. You turn the mirror from yourselves and put it back on the audience.
Shut up, Don.
And you have such a chance to do that. So Friday, another gift.
Not happening.
That G's giving you.
Nope. Not happening. You know, I have an actual life that I live where I like go places, talk to people. I have a family. I have friends outside this business. Uh-huh. You think that I can face any of them after letting you guys shave my back? That's not going to happen. No chance. No way. No how. Absolutely not. No way.
Hey, Justin, you remember how B.A. Baracus, how they got him on a plane back in the day? Right? They had to tranquilize
him. Justin even knows who B.A. Baracus is.
Mr. T? Mr. T on the A-team?
From the A-team. Justin
hated to fly, man. They had to tranquilize him.
The A-team was over 20 years before Justin was born.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it, unfortunately. I'm aware of all the references, mm-hmm. but I wasn't born when the show was.
Yeah, gotcha. Right. Fine.
So here's
love it when playing comes together.
Let me play something for you before he comes on. So here was Scott yesterday talking about how great the pitching has been.
I've said to a couple of people, it is like historic starting pitching. We are on that kind of run. You have guys doing it a little bit differently every night. I know they're all right-handed, but they all do it a little bit differently. The one thing that stands out that they all have in common is the competitive nature of every one of those guys. When they take the mound, it is their day. They're not going to give it up. They're going to continue to compete and execute, even if maybe they don't have all their pitches in that particular day. And I say it often, it's a credit to our catcher. He understands what these guys can and can't do, and he gets them through some tough spots. I thought the mound visit tonight with a couple guys on, critical. Just slow the game down.
Critical. Slow the game down. A huge credit to that catcher. His name is Cal Raleigh, and he'll join us to talk about that pitching staff next.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, we're expecting to talk to Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Aaron Goldsmith is going to join us at 9:30. I'm glad we didn't have Divish book because the idea of Cal and Divish on the same day would have been too much. It's
should go back to back.
Remarkable
go
how
Cal
similarly
Cal for 15,
they talk.
Go Divish for 15.
Nobody would be able to know where one left off and the other began. It would have
Can
been
I ask
challenge.
You a question I've never asked you in 15 years?
No, sure.
It's always a little dangerous.
Yeah.
You know? Your mind's like, where is it going?
Yeah,
this?
It's going to be a problem.
Do you think catcher processing is innate or taught?
explain what you mean by catcher process.
Well, the more that I'm listening to Scott, the more we've talked about this. I shared the story about my neighbor Hunter, the AA catcher, mm-hmm. and how in you shared the story of you sitting with the old Mariner catcher as well, and them walking through the game, like every swing, processing every swing, the feet, the stance, the all of it, right, in order to call that next pitch. Do you think that's something that can be taught? Or do you think that there are some that are just more innately gifted at it than others?
Yes. I think the answer is yes. I think it's both of those things. And it's sort of like being a quarterback. Some of it's innate. Some of it can be taught. Right? I do think you have to have a sense for the game and some of that baseball quotient, football quotient, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that, whatever cue you want to, you know, whatever you want to put in front of cue.
Yeah.
You have to have a little of that, I think, innately.
See, I don't think you can ever be, if you are an average processor, a quarterback,
right.
You're never going to be great.
That's right. And I think the same is probably true at catcher. Like, you've got to be pretty darn good at it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that you can develop that skill and work mm-hmm. on it and get better at it and learn about it. I'm sure you have to learn it.
Well, I think a quarterback, it's a little easier. You can mask it. I think the different schemes and coordinators can play call around it mm-hmm. and simplify it. I don't think you can do that at catcher. Now, maybe guy's stuff is so good, it doesn't matter what, you know, you put down, but that's definitely one of the questions I have for old Cal.
Well, thankfully, we've got Cal on the line right now. Cal Raleigh taking a few minutes with us this morning. Hi, Cal. Good morning.
What's up, guys?
Cal, have you ever tried to quantify all the different thought bubbles that you have when you're sitting there behind the plate evaluating all of these hitters from their stance to their swing to everything that goes into how you call the game?
Yeah, I think you try to. I think that's all going on in your head during the game. Obviously, you have meetings and pregame kind of meetings to do that and talk about all that stuff. But once you get in the game, it's go execute it and make adjustments from there. And it's kind of my job back there, not the pitcher's job, to kind of see those things and all nuances that hitters do.
It makes me wonder, we often hear about quarterbacks who pitch because of the throwing and the arm motion and some of that stuff. But it dawns on me as Brock was talking there and then listening to you kind of go through it. How is catcher actually the position most similar to quarterback on a baseball team?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's the position that is having to see adjustments and, sometimes the pitcher does that stuff too, but not every pitcher's like that. Some people just like keeping it simple and throwing the ball and just trusting their catcher. So, you're constantly reading swings, reading stances, reading situations, reading approaches, and trying to learn people in the league. I think that's been the biggest thing over the past couple of years is learning who does what in certain situations and what guys look for, what they sit on, and kind of having to learn the tough way or the hard way sometimes, but it kind of pays off in the end.
And very similar too, Salk. You never get the credit. Selfless, humble. I mean, quarterbacks and catchers.
Quarterbacks, yes. World renowned for their humility. Quarterbacks are, yes.
Yes, sure.
Something
so.
Like that. Hey, Kelsey, you said after the game last night, I wanted to follow up on it. You said after the game that the five starters on this team, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about them because, oh my gosh, they've been phenomenal. But you said all five of them throw different fastballs. Can you explain to a layperson what that means? How are all five of them different?
Yeah, I mean, I think they all have different qualities. They have different things that make them tick. Obviously, you got different arm angles. I think you saw that they did a segment last year on, I think it was MLB Network or something, talking about the different release heights and the different, kind of types of slots. What they throw from, and you look at a guy like Bryce Miller, who's kind of more over the top and kind of more of like a 12 o'clock release height versus a guy like Luis, who pitched last night, who is kind of more like a sidewinder kind of upshoot guy, where he's coming from down low and it just never comes down with his fastball. So they all throw different fastballs. You got a sinker, you got two seams, you got four seams, you got cutters. Basically, they're just fastballs going in different directions, and all of them really have late life, which is kind of what makes them so special.
What have these hitters been mumbling in the batter's box the last couple weeks, Cal?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of guys that are just, you know, you talk to guys around the league, you know people on other teams, and you have conversations with them, and they're just like, man, your guys' staff is unbelievable. You know, not only is the stuff really good, but they're going out and locating and, you know, attacking the hitter and, you know, not falling behind the counts. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's not just stuff. It's not like these guys are out stuffing people. They're locating. They're making people uncomfortable getting inside and dotting away as well, which is kind of hard to find.
I can only imagine what it's like catching when they're like that. And a couple of games stand out from this historic run that the staff is on, but maybe none more so than Kirby's last start on Saturday night. In the games you've caught, where did his stuff, command, et cetera, stand that night?
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. I look back last year, he faced Baltimore. He went 9 innings. We couldn't score a run. And unfortunately, he didn't get the CG. So 0-0 going into the 10th, I believe.
Right.
And then he had New York game last year. I believe it was 8 innings. He had a bunch of punch outs that game as well. But yeah, the other night was pretty special. He punched out 12. I think it was a career high, what they said. And he's dotting up. Like George normally does, you know, when he comes out bumping, you know, 98, 99 in the first inning, it's going to be a long night for those hitters with that kind of command that he has.
Well, I just find myself thinking, like, you know, we were talking earlier this year, more because of the challenges you guys are having hitting with some of the spin and talking about whether or not we were going to reach that point where more pitchers were throwing more breaking pitches than fastballs, and it sounds like in some ways we're already sort of getting there around the league. And then when you watch this staff, and over the last couple of nights, even against guys like Acuna, you're just throwing fastball after fastball. How many guys can even pull something like that off?
Yeah, not many guys. I think it's I think if you're going to be a starting pitcher in this league, you got to have some kind of special kind of fastball or something that gets people off balance. And, I think it's just over the last 2 nights, it's kind of lined up with scouting report and pitcher strengths and who we're facing. And sometimes it's the best pitch to go with. You know, it's kind of like a slider in a situation. Sometimes you got to lean heavy on the slider. Sometimes you got to lean heavy on the fastball. And over the last couple nights, seeing, you know, how comfortable they've been and kind of how they looked on the fastball, just the tickle eight. They're a good hitting team. You just stay with it and try to get them out as many times as you can because you know that that's a really good order over there on the other side.
Cal Raleigh here with us, taking some time this morning with the early game with the Mariners. Kirby said after his performance the other night, he knew in the bullpen session, like, oh yeah, I've got every bullet firing. When do you know, Cal? Do you know it in bullpen sessions as well? Is it the first few pitches of a first inning? When do you know the guy's stuff is just electric that night?
Yeah. I actually looked over at our bullpen coach, Tony Arnors, the other day, and I said, George has got it. I could tell. I could tell in the bullpen. He just, you know, you could just feel it. The way he was dotting up the bullpen, the way he was at the mitt, the way he was coming out of his hand, the way he was just carrying himself. I think that says a lot about, you know, kind of how funny this game is and the confidence you need. And you can definitely tell right pitch one, he was dialed in. And, you can see as a catcher, you know, when guys just, you know, some guys have it each day and some don't. I think Roger Clemens back in the day said, pitcher's got 30 starts a year. You know, 10 starts, he's going to feel amazing. 10, he's going to feel okay. And 10, he's going to feel awful. But kind of what you do with those 10 awful starts. You know, can you find a way to compete, get out, and still do things like that? And I think that's what makes our staff really good.
How about a catcher? A catcher has 150 starts. How many of them does the catcher's body feel good?
What'd you say?
Well, I said a catcher has 150 games you catch. How many of those 150 does the catcher's body feel good?
Probably like 7.
How bad was the tooth the other night?
it was pretty painful. It was I never really had any teeth issues or anything like that. That was I didn't really. It's like every step you take, you know, you're just feeling that vibration, especially when you're doing like jogging or catching baseball, stuff like that, swinging a bat. You know, it was a little jolting pain there, so it was tough to fight through. This past week, it hasn't been a lot of food, or I haven't eaten a lot of food. I haven't slept a lot. You know, just dealing with that, but we're starting to get back on track now, and things are definitely looking up.
And then you get reprimanded by your dentist too. Right. That's usually the worst part of any dental problem. It's not just that you've got the pain and the you know everything that goes. Then your dentist is always like guilt tripping you afterwards.
Yep.
Yeah, no. My sister's actually in dental school right now. I tell her every day. I say I hate the dentist so much. No offense, but I just hate going and sitting in a chair, and I just have bad memories. Don't like it.
I mean, I think the oral dental health community is very curious. Are we talking about a molar? Are we talking about a root canal? Are we talking about a wisdom tooth? What exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, it was the bottom back right. So I think it's a molar. It basically it fractured, so they had to remove it, unfortunately.
You're not supposed to eat rocks. I mean, I feel like that's one of those things that is just common knowledge. But I guess you know. Catchers are just built a little bit differently. We spent some time on Kirby, a little bit on Luis. We got to talk about your guy Logan, though, and just the way he's developed new pitches. So when you're working with him, how do you know when you can trust one of those new pitches that he's developing?
Yeah, I think it's something, you know, he comes into camp with. We talked about it this offseason. He wanted to, you know, either try to make his four seam a little better or add a cutter or two seam, and I was definitely a fan of adding the cutter, so he brought it into camp and just kind of you kind of play with it. You kind of throw it to guys and see how they react and how what they look like on it. We were kind of cautious at first, you know, we didn't want to use it too much. We didn't want it to blend with the slider because they're both kind of going to his glove side, so yeah, he came in, played with it, and it's really developed really, really nicely. It's really given him some more room with the fastball and with the slider, you know, to get in on lefties, to get away from righties, to kind of get things going glove side and not kind of leaking back over the plate so he can have more room for error with the fastball. So
which has been more valuable, that or Bryce's splitter that he's throwing?
They've both been pretty good, I'm not going to lie. You know, Bryce is, he needed something for lefties and something kind of that can go down that he can rely on and can get some swing and miss. So that's definitely been helpful with them. They're two completely different pitches too. So I think they both, you know, you can't really pick one off the top of my head, but they both kind of went into the offseason knowing what they needed to do and came out with a good answer as to kind of how to solve certain problems against certain hitters.
Cal, I got two final questions here for you from my perspective. You're not going to be a Rams fan now, are you? I mean, they take Jared Verse in the first round. They take the D tackle in the second round. Like, you're not going to become a Rams fan, right?
No, I'm not. Still not a Rams fan, so.
Okay, good. Good to know. Secondly and finally for me is you said something to us sitting there at the picnic table at spring training that I loved. And you said, you know what? We got to do our end of the bargain. We don't just need to be a pitching dominant team. We need to complement it with the offense. Do you feel like you fueled your pitching? Like, oh, really, Cal? We don't have to be a pitching dominant team. Why don't we go out and put one of the most historic months in the history of the franchise together with what they've done?
I mean, yeah, if I need to keep saying that for a bitch like that, then I'll say even worse things. So.
How far away do you think? Yeah, go ahead.
No, they've been amazing. It's fun to watch, and, you know, we just got to keep going. That's really, really all it is. We got to keep going. We got to continue to keep getting better on, you know, both sides of the ball, so.
How far away do you think the offense is? I mean, you know, obviously this has not been the start that you guys were hoping for offensively. Is it close? Does it feel like it's around the corner, or does it feel like it's still a long way away?
No, it's coming. It's, you know, we feel it. We're still getting, you know, comfortable and trying to, you know, it's still early on. It's only a month into the season. You know, there's definitely been some ups. There's been some downs. That's for sure. And, but, you know, we got to double down on, you know, staying with it, staying with our approach, staying stubborn. And I think you've seen some games where we've done a really good job of it. And there's been some games where we haven't done such so good a job of it. So I think it's about being consistent, trying to find that, you know, consistent approach and to kind of every day, can we grind this pitcher out? Can we find a way to get it done? And like I said, it's just been a little inconsistent so far.
Well, a lot of good texts coming in, Cal. Props to Cal for his patience slogging through the most dad joke interview ever. Appreciate that. That's our fault. We're getting older. We're getting to be middle-aged, and yeah, we're doing the best we can to stay relevant. It's not working. And then just to give you a sense as to what sports radio is like on a daily basis, back-to-back texts, wow, is Cal in a bad mood this morning, next to Cal is the best interview I've ever heard him, and he seems to be in a great mood. So I don't know what to tell you, man. That's sports radio in 2024. We certainly appreciate it. We like talking to you. And again, our apologies for the dad jokes.
No, I'm all for the dad jokes.
See, I knew that about you. See, I figured that. Yeah, you're one day, man. You're gonna be a dad joke king. I could tell. We appreciate it. Thanks, man. Continue. Good luck.
Yeah, good talking to you guys.
All right, there you go. Yeah, worse than normal today?
What dad joke did I make?
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, the Rams was sort of a stupid question. And then we went too deep probably on the tooth. But really? Whatever. Cal's a fun guy.
All I know is that speaks to, you know, it's about the, I don't know, 1,656th time that you learn something after the fact in baseball. Man, he's been, you know, one of my buddies, you know, sent me a little text last night. I think since his tooth deal, he was like 0 for 15 with 10 strikeouts, right? You know, what do they do? What did Texas do to his tooth down there? No, it's not about what Texas, he can't eat. He's not eating. He's not sleeping. Jeez. He's not feeling good. But you know what? You don't complain. You grit and bear it.
I was a catcher.
That's right. Like, okay, go out and do your job. You know, they just show up. And they show up, and no matter what the circumstances are, and you don't always know. We've talked about this a lot. What is going on behind the scenes, especially in this sport with 162 games? You know, he's not been eating. You go do your job. You go be a major league catcher. You go hit. You go do all that's asked to do when you're not sleeping, you're not eating, and you feel like crap. You know, you're probably going to go through a little bit of a rough spot, but you're not going to sit there and complain about it. You're going to endure it and go be there for your team.
Text messages, 360. Everyone is in a bad mood when they talk to Salk. You know, that's not entirely true. There are people that like me. I am married. I do have kids. Like, there's a couple of people in the world that like me. Sheesh. Salk can't say he's middle-aged when he's already embraced being elderly. All right, that's fair. I did say that. That's true. I have already sort of skipped past middle-aged and gone right to elderly. And then, Salk, that's a stupid question. It shows you've never played. If they could answer that, they'd fix it and start hitting. Well, I don't think I asked him what do they need to do to hit.
No.
I asked how close it is, and I thought actually Cal gave a pretty good answer on it.
It's a peek into the mindset.
Like, there are times in baseball, maybe it shows you've never played at 4-2-5. There are times in baseball where you feel like you're not close. You feel like you aren't able to get the barrel to the ball, where you're not able to do much of anything. Mm-hmm. And then there's other times where you feel like, you know what? We're starting to come out of this. We're starting to get some hits. The power's going to follow. We're hitting the ball hard right at people, and those numbers and some of that cluster luck will start to change. And they can sense it. Maybe I've never played the game at a high level, but I will tell you this. I've been around a lot of people that have. I've covered a lot of baseball players and talked to a lot of baseball players and managers, et cetera, and they know. They got a pretty good sense of how things are actually going, not just what the numbers say. And I don't know whether they're close or not right now. And I didn't get the sense that Cal had like a definitive answer on that, which tells me that they're probably not feeling that close. Mm-hmm. That unfortunately, they're not feeling like they're on the verge of snapping out of kind of a tough stretch to start this season. But he also sounds like he's got a little bit of a plan there. What's the plan? Stay true to what you're trying to do. Recommit to the process. And when you do that, double down. It should work.
Stay stubborn with the approach. That was his word. Stay stubborn with the approach and grind these guys. And I wonder, is that individually or is that collectively? right? We talk about this all the time. Independent contractors, 9 of them in the lineup, right? Who all want to put up their numbers and do their job. But how many times is it about the collective, right? Do all 9 of those, Salk, have to do the same? Do they all have to be stubborn and grind, right? And is that, you know, a collective? Or is it, hey, man, there's going to be a few, right, that are going to be a little more freewheeling in there, that we want to give the right to swing at that first pitch fastball, right? Your job is not necessarily to have 8-9 pitches. Let's make sure that, you know, for you, and I think there is probably some stops and starts to some of that with this collection and in this lineup this season. Have you ever, I had the life experience with my late great friend Dory Monson at a Sonic game. He bit into, it's really good seats down by the court, and he bit into some caramel corn or something.
Oh,
and
no.
Cracked his teeth, fractured his tooth.
Jeez.
And the nerve got exposed. Ugh. I looked over at him, and it was as if he was in the shower. He was sweating in so much pain, and he turned to me and said, I got to go to the ER.
Wow.
My dentist had said to me, you better be careful, right? Same thing, Salk, just like your question. Do you know? Is it close? That dentist said, it's close. Like, you bite into the wrong thing, and this thing may fracture, and when it does, that nerve is going to hurt. And I don't think I'd seen any, well, I've seen some gruesome football injuries, but that was one in real life where he was out and he had to go to the ER. Like, he was done. And Cal plays a game with the fractured tooth and is continued to play no matter how crappy he's feeling right now.
That sounds awful. I'm luckily to have not had any real.
And he sounds pain. Just like Ryan Divis.
He really does. It's pretty remarkable.
It is impeccable.
It's really, really pretty amazing. Right up to the things they hate. What did he say he hated?
Dentists.
Yeah, it seems like something Divish would hate too. I'll bet you dollars to donuts Ryan Divish hates the dentist. Uh-huh. I'll bet you dollars to donuts. He's like, yeah, I hate dentists. I don't want any part of them. Mm-hmm. All right. We still got a lot more to come here. Aaron Goldsmith is going to join us coming up in just over a half hour at 9:30. We are on the verge, Brock, as you mentioned, of rookie minicamp. Spend a few minutes on that before we talk to Goldie. Stick around. We got another hour to go here on Brock and Salk.